Indeed, Lord Jesus, that is our prayer, that as we come to your word, that your will would be done in this place and in our lives. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open us to your word today, that we would see you, Lord Jesus, more clearly, that we would fall more and more in love with you. Come, Holy Spirit, shape in us a love and awareness of you for your honor and glory. Amen. I invite you to be seated. And we're going to look and think on this story of the Ascension. We'll primarily be back and forth from that passage in Luke, as well as in Acts chapter 1. So if you want to open up your Black Pew Bibles there or follow along to Acts chapter 1, it's page 909. We'll be working with that text a bit here this morning. And as we do that, I was struck this week, and I, more than just this week, but this week in particular, just the sense that many of us live without an awareness of the presence of God in our lives. That was a mouthful, I know, so. But many of us live without an awareness of the presence of God in our lives. I'm still seeing a lot of blank faces, maybe. But we live without an awareness of the presence of God in our lives. Do you find that to be the case or true in your own life? As you think back over the weeks, over the past week or two, where was God in your life? Where was God in your week? Because many of times we're okay with acknowledging God to a certain extent, right? You know, many of us probably pray maybe before we eat something or pray before we go to bed. We're okay with going to God when we're in trouble, when we need something, right? That's when we turn to God, when we think about him, when he becomes present to us or more present to us. But what about all the other times? What about all the rest of the hours and the weeks in our lives? Where is God in your life? Where is God in your week? Because I think many of us are okay with just this knowledge or this kind of acknowledging that God exists. Or maybe we would even put it in the category of us coexisting with God. We kind of get along okay, well enough with each other, right? Many of us are in that point, but not many of us, I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong, hopefully I'm wrong. But not all of us have that awareness, a constant presence, a constant knowledge of God's presence in our lives. Often I think we treat God kind of like we do gravity. Most of us could kind of explain the concept of gravity a little bit. We know we're kind of thankful for it. But most of us don't go day by day thinking constantly about it. When you go to sit down, you're not thinking about gravity and all the laws at work and how physics is putting you down, or I can't even explain it. I'm not a physicist, so. But we have a general concept, a general awareness of gravity, right? That we're here, that we're not floating off into space because of it, right? Everyone's really quiet today and nobody's acknowledging. Gravity is somewhere, right? Okay, we can agree on that. We're not aware of gravity until it becomes painfully obvious that there is gravity. The church cross falling over, there we go. It's the object lesson, the point behind it all. Gravity at work right there. A wake-up call, that's right. Yeah, I was going to share a more humiliating story about falling off my bike this week, but we'll go with the cross. but we don't acknowledge, we don't think about gravity until its effects are felt or known on our lives. Many of us, I think, treat God in much the same way, right? We don't think about God. We don't think much about his presence, about who he is, his existence in our lives until something happens to us or in our lives that makes us open our eyes, that opens us to the awareness of God being there. Many of us live without that awareness of God's presence in our lives day to day. But we hear in this story of the ascension, we're going to be looking at that. We hear in this story of the ascension that God wants to be more than just gravity for us. That God wants to be more than just the occasional thing that we think about or kind of show up on Sunday mornings or the person that we turn to when we need something. That God wants more than that for us, for our lives. He wants all of us, day by day, week by week, hour by hour. So the question for you to think on today is, are you daily depending on the presence of God? Are you daily depending on the presence of God? Because that is what God desires for us. It's what God invites us into. So we're going to use this story of the ascension to help us understand that a little bit. And it's one of those holidays in the church year. It's actually a major festival, a major holiday. I'm guessing not many people would come out for church on Thursday, so we're not going to come on Thursday. But it's an important event in the life of the church, in the life of us as believers. But it's one that often gets downplayed and we don't often think about. And I think it's actually one of the reasons that we don't have more of an awareness of God's presence in our lives. Because if somebody asked you, tell me the story of Jesus, you probably could outline, kind of give a timeline of Jesus, of his work, his life, and all that, right? Where would you start? Christmas is probably where we'd start. I'd suggest we start several thousand years earlier. At creation, Jesus being present at creation. But yeah, often at Christmas, right? You know, when Jesus came, he was born. He came to the world, and we're good with Christmas, right? Yeah, we all like Christmas. We're good with Christmas. And then the story progresses, right? You know, we have some sort of awareness of Jesus coming, that he lived. He lived a good life. Lots of people focus in on Jesus living that perfect life, kind of the example for us to follow. We're good with Jesus teaching, that he was a good preacher, that he taught us important things that we should know. We're good with Jesus doing miracles, bringing healing and restoring people's sight, doing miraculous things, God's power on display there. So we're good with Jesus coming, his birth, his living. What comes next in the story? Death and resurrection, right? And oftentimes we focus just on the birth and death and resurrection and everything else. Sorry. I need to keep my hands to myself. I said I was going to be better today about that. But we focus in on that, the birth and the death and resurrection of Jesus, which we should. Those are important things in our life and in our life of faith. But then where do we often take the story? I shouldn't ask this question because you all know what I'm actually getting at. But often we go from the resurrection, from the empty tomb, to talking about Jesus coming again, right? And what do we skip over? The ascension, yes, yeah. We skip over the ascension and its purpose. Because you see, I think this has framed and shaped our thinking of who Jesus is, and we actually like it this way. You know, we're okay with Jesus being an historical figure, somebody that was around on the earth. He was born, he did good things, lived a perfect life. He died, he rose again. We're good with that, Jesus, that he saved us and all that. We're good with Jesus being a future figure, right, that he's coming again. Wherever you are in your belief of God, most everybody says they want to go to heaven or some sort of form that way, right? We're good with Jesus coming again and the hope that we have in him. But it's all this middle stuff that we're not always so okay with. God being a part of. Jesus being a part of. I think one of the reasons is that we misunderstand, if we do even think about the ascension. Because if you look at this story of Jesus taking his disciples after he had 40 days after he had risen from the tomb, he takes his disciples up to the mountain, and what does he do? He raises up, he goes to heaven, he goes to be with his Father. And I think many of us read that as God leaving the world, right? You see that or kind of get that sense? that God was here in Jesus, that God was here, he's walking around, touching, tangible, doing his work. And then he went up to be with God his Father, and we're kind of just left on our own until he comes again. But that's missing crucial elements of this story. Because the ascension really is about God's presence being real to us. The ascension is about God's presence being real to us. So I would suggest today that the ascension ought to change the way that we live our lives. The ascension ought to change the way that we live our lives as followers of Jesus. We did well last week with three P's, so we're going to have three P's again today. Because the ascension shows us, gives us the presence of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the promise of return. The presence, power, and promise. We see in the resurrection the presence of Jesus. Even though we often don't associate it with Jesus' presence. Again, we often associate it with the opposite of Jesus leaving us kind of to our own devices. But that's not what happened. Many times in the Gospels, Jesus says, it's actually good that I am leaving. It's actually good that I am leaving, so I can give you the promise. At the end of Luke there we heard, the promise of the Father, giving the promise of the Holy Spirit, Jesus' presence in the world. So the ascension reminds us that Jesus is still present. Although it looks different than we often think of Jesus' presence. It's not the tangible, human, fleshly presence. But the presence of his Spirit. The type of Jesus' ministry changed. But it's an important ministry that he continues nonetheless. Because it says Jesus ascended. Where did he go? We confessed it in the creed every week. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, of God the Father. Jesus ascended into heaven, seated at God's right hand, a sign that the ministry continued. It's not just Jesus kicking off his shoes and relaxing for a few thousand years or however long until he comes back, but Jesus sitting at God's right hand is a sign of Jesus ruling as king. Because sitting is what kings do, right? We don't have so many kings anymore, maybe more relevant a few thousand years ago. But that's what kings do in positions of power. Even as I'm thinking, you enter a courtroom, everyone stands except for the judge, right? You know, as that sign of honor. Standing in the presence of God and sitting in that seat of power. Because Jesus' presence is still here. His ministry has just changed. But in many ways, it hasn't changed because it's still announcing that the kingdom of God is at hand. That is, after all, the core of the message that Jesus came to proclaim. That's why he did healings. That's why he did miraculous and powerful things. To announce that God's kingdom, that God himself had come near, had come to the world, had come for you, for me. Jesus ruling as king is just a continuation of this. That he rules as king of God's kingdom. We see in the ascension that the ministry of Jesus, his kingdom, is still coming. It's still growing. It's still here. That Jesus hasn't just left the earth and left us to our own devices, disappeared as it were. But Jesus has come, and his kingdom is coming. And what's more, it's growing. God's kingdom is growing more and more. It's coming nearer and nearer. And that's often hard to see in our lives. It's hard to see when you turn on the news and see all the bad, the violence, the hurt that goes on. But God's promise is that he is drawing near. He's coming near to you. To me. And that's good. That's good news. I need that. I need that in my life as I fail, as I mess up. as I hurt others, as I don't love like I should. I need Jesus' presence, his grace, his mercy, his love to touch my heart, to be near to me. The ascension reminds us that Jesus is still near to us. He's sitting on the throne, ruling as ruler of our hearts, of our lives, of this world. And we're reminded of that presence, of his rule, as he meets with us in the everyday ordinary. That is what we celebrated just a few minutes ago in baptism, of Jesus coming, of meeting Ellis in water and his word. That's what we'll celebrate in a few minutes around the table. Meeting with Jesus, meeting with his presence, his very presence there, strengthening us. Not content to stay far away, but meeting us as we need him. So we see the presence of Jesus, God's presence in our lives. But the ascension also points out the power of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus didn't just leave us alone or leave us to our own devices, but that he's built in us, he's equipped in us, he's given us all that we need for life, for ministry, for work of the kingdom. The power of the Holy Spirit. And this Acts and Luke points out the power of the Holy Spirit uniquely is to be witnesses. Verse 8 in chapter 1 of Acts, Acts 1:8, says, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And a connecting word there, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The power of the Holy Spirit is connected to what we talked about last week, of going out, of sharing Jesus' love, of being called to be witnesses in all that we do. But that means that our lives need to be changed. We need to have an encounter with the presence of Jesus, the living presence of Jesus. As we receive the gift of his Holy Spirit, he calls us to be witnesses to the whole world, witnesses of his message. Further than just the kingdom of God, Jesus' message was repent and believe, right? Repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is near. That's what we're called to share, and that's what we are called to believe. That's what the Spirit leads us to believe, that we are forgiven, that we are called as children of God, that we are loved by him. No matter your past, no matter what you've done, the mistakes you've made, the Spirit calls us to repentance, to believe, to trust, to hope in him. Because that is the primary work of the Spirit, of this powerful presence of Jesus, to point others, to point ourselves back to him. And if we were to read through the rest of the book of Acts here, you'll see that the entire book goes on to chronicle the work, the power of the Spirit going forth, changing, transforming lives. As people hear that message of repentance, that good news that Jesus is still near, that he is close to us, hear of his love for us. And the good news is that isn't just an historical person, but the Spirit is alive, he's active. The same power is at work in our lives today. The ascension points out the presence of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the promise of return, the promise of a future, the promise of hope. Verse 11, and this Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come again in the same way as you saw him go up into heaven. The promise of return. And this really is what gives us meaning. This is what gives us hope. This is what makes us live day by day. So I don't know about you, there's some days that it's hard just to get out of bed. It's hard to do life. But this is a hope that draws us forward, continually calls us ahead, calls us to himself. That Jesus not only hasn't just left us as we are, but that he's coming again in a person. The hope of the new creation. We know how the story ends in Revelation. The new heavens and the new earth, where God dwells with us, where God lives with us. We walk with God, we live with him. That is the hope of all things being made right, all things being made right as we live with God. But I think that also sends us out as his people with a sense of urgency, because it isn't just a play out the clock kind of situation. We hear that Jesus is coming again. I love the phrase there in verses 10 and 11. The disciples are there, probably like I would be too. Jesus was just there talking to us, and suddenly he is lifted up. He's taken away from before their eyes. It says in verse 10, and while the disciples were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? Why do you stand looking into heaven? I've always loved that question, that phrase. Because I think we as believers, too often we stand there looking into heaven instead of going out doing what we're called to do. To go into God's presence, rejoice. To go forth in the power of the Spirit, to be witnesses. To believe that we are forgiven, that we are loved by God, to live like it. Too often we stand looking, waiting, wondering. The ascension calls us to God to remind us of his presence, of his power, of his promise to return. And so this week, do you depend on the presence of God for your daily life? Where do you need God's presence, his touch, his love, his forgiveness, his healing, his mercy, his grace this week? We're encouraged to look in Jesus, in the ascension, that God is near to you. He loves you, he cares for you, and he sends us out with his power, the promise that he is with us now and forever. Amen.